Welcome to the InvestorMail Woman of Action Show. Today's guest is Jennifer Bouillette, and I'm so excited to have her on my show. She has such an amazing story to share with you today. Jennifer and her husband both were working shifts while growing their portfolio and also have three kids at home. Now, she decided to take some action to quit her job and spend more time with her three kids. She grew her portfolio not only locally, cross-provincial, and in the States as well. You're gonna absolutely love all the great information that Jennifer is gonna be sharing with you. But before we do so, if you could please hit the like button and subscribe to the channel, it helps the algorithm and helps share this information with other women as well. Now let's get started. Welcome, Jennifer, to the Woman of Action Show. It's fantastic to have you here today.
Oh, thank you so much, Mel. I'm really excited to be a part of everything.
Yes. Now, I've had the pleasure to get to know you quite a bit over the past few months because you are one of our members as part of Platinum 10 members. And we'll get into that a little bit later here. But first, please introduce yourself to our listeners. Where are you from and a little bit about your story?
Okay, well, my name is Jennifer Bouillette, and I'm from Sudbury, Ontario, which is just an hour or so away from you guys. And I'm married to my husband, Steph. We've been married since 2002. We have three fantastic kids. Katie's almost 18 and leaving for university this month. And Lindsay's 14 going into grade 9, and Jamie's 12 going into grade 7. And we started our investing journey in 2011. And, you know, kind of slowly grew at the beginning, and then found the Action family about a year ago. And it's been phenomenal ever since, the amount of learning and growing and sharing that we've done. And we're super pumped to see where it kind of goes from here.
That's great. That's great. Okay. So you started in 2011. And what did that look like? Did you start in multifamily? Did you start in single dwelling? Were you doing joint venture partners? What was your path and roadblocks as you kind of went through all of that?
So 2011, I was heading back to work off my last mat leave. So Jamie was just a baby and my last mat leave was ending, and we knew we weren't going to have any more kids. And I was a frontline worker back then. I worked for the provincial government in youth corrections, and my husband's a first responder. So we were a double shift work family, and we were kind of looking down the road, wanting something better, wanting something that wasn't so stressful on our family, something that was a little bit more flexible with time, something that would allow us to kind of grow what we had and create options and opportunities and still keep us home with the kids as much as we could be, rather than just sending them to daycare or to Nana and Grandpa's on the weekends for sleepovers because Mom and Dad had to work. So we kind of looked at real estate investing, as we didn't really know what we were doing yet, but we knew that it would be a good thing to kind of get into, and we'd kind of figure it out as we went. So we didn't know a whole lot about it, but we knew that it was a great long game, and we had a ton of equity in our house. So we did a refinance and we pulled the equity out that we had, and we bought two properties kind of really close together right off the bat. So we bought a fourplex and a fiveplex in Sudbury. Nice. And discovered property management at the same time, which we didn't really understand at the time, but we knew we weren't really interested in being landlords. We wanted to do the investment part. And back then, before we really knew anything, we were hopeful that it would cash flow enough that it would create an opportunity that maybe I wouldn't have to go back to work, or that I could flex and try something a little bit different. So it didn't. I mean, it wasn't enough back then, right, to kind of float what we needed it to be, but it was really the best decision because it created this foundation for us to grow from. And two great, like, solid performing buildings that were in great shape that we could lift a little bit and improve. And as the tenants turned over, we could raise the rents. And that was kind of our in, and that's what kind of started us. So that's how it began for us. And then, I mean, it kind of grew from there. Life got in the way for a couple of years. You know, we were still a shift work family with three small kids and kind of going through all of those motions. And yeah, that's just kind of how we began, and yeah, realized that this was something we wanted to do.
That's great. That's great. And I want to slow it down even more, because when you say you refinance your house, like, and for you, it seems like, okay, that was a, you know, it was a no brainer decision. You had money, you had equity, but for some listeners, this is a big decision. And I understand why, because I certainly felt that way. I was always brought up to be
debt free. You want to pay off. Yes. I remember having a goal once I graduated. I wanted to be mortgage free by the time I was 30 or whatnot. And my goal completely changed as life went on, of course. But how was that decision made that, hey, let's use the equity and put the money to work? What was that moment, or did you always know to kind of put your money to work for you?
Well, we had a realtor at the time who was really into investing. So we did get a lot from him in terms of knowledge. And he kind of introduced us into the concept of building a team of people that understood all of those parts that we didn't, right? So I had worked with him in the past. He had gotten out of frontline work and gotten into real estate. And he introduced us to a mortgage broker back then that we had this conversation with. And we were like, how can we make this happen? Like, clearly we don't have, you know, tens of thousands of dollars sitting in the bank. Not very many people do, right? And at that point, we were very much brought up like you, right? Debt-free and save your money and put it into RRSPs and don't touch it and just think about it when you're 55 or 60, and then you'll kind of deal with it then. And, you know, we had a little bit of those pots to kind of look at, and the mortgage broker was like, well, you know what, your house has a lot of equity. Like, you know, we had a really great down payment when we bought it. We didn't have three kids at the time. We both had good jobs. The money situation was a little bit different. So he kind of took us through this is what it will look like. You have a mortgage payment anyways. Right. He said, if we could refinance it, get the appraisal done, you know, your values are great because you're in a good neighborhood and the market was fairly strong back then. He said, this is kind of what we can access and how you can use it. So for us, it was just like, oh my gosh, what a game changer. Right. That just, it was like all of a sudden we had access to options that we didn't think we had before.
Right. Right. And that's exactly it. If yes, you're going to pay a little bit of interest, of course, with the refinance, but if it costs you this much and you're able to make this much of it and it enables you to grow, then why not put that money to work for you?
Well, and that's, and as you know, right. And we're part of the Action family and we're part of the Platinum 10, like, and that's how we grow now, right. Is we kind of leverage and we check what everything's worth and where we're at in the refinancing stages and cash flow and interest rates. And we can keep an eye on all of that kind of stuff. And that's kind of helped us grow to kind of where we are now, which is great. Right.
That's fantastic. Now I want to also talk about the shift work, because that must be hard to try to grow your portfolio, working different shifts, three kids. I have three kids as well. So that's really busy, of course, on its own outside of working full-time plus shift work. How did you make it happen? I think this is really important because we tend to often make excuses based on our own scenarios. Well, I can't because I have kids, right? I can't because I work full-time, or I can't because I work shift work on top of that. And then we both work shift work. So how did you balance it all and make it happen?
It was really a struggle. It truly was. And there were a lot of days that were better than other days, right? Because, and our kids were little and they really, it was tough. And I look back now and those are some resilient little peanuts that we raised, because you know what, there was so much juggling at the beginning, and Steph and I both knew that we wanted something better and we wanted something different. And there were a lot of days where I would go to work and I'm leaving kids in tears going, you know, mommy, please don't go, and let's go to the park, or let's go for a swim, or all of those kinds of things. So I totally get the struggle with doing high stress jobs with schedules that aren't very family friendly. And I got into a different role at work. So that was kind of a band-aid solution for us at the time. So we kind of got into real estate investing. I went back to work because we didn't have a lot of option at that time. And I had a lot of seniority and I had a great pension. And I had all of these things that we were told growing up that you needed to have to be successful, right? So my role shifted at work a little bit and I got into the management team, which was a little bit more money and a little bit it was a much better schedule. So that eliminated my days and nights, and that eliminated the weekends. It, like, you know what I mean? It went to kind of a 9 to 5 Monday to Friday deal, which kind of settled everything down. So it was like all of a sudden, okay, mom is still, the paycheck is coming in. So we're managing that piece and I'm home at night and on the weekends. So Steph didn't have to worry so much about flexing his shifts and taking time off and making switches and those kinds of things. So our investing game kind of fell to the side for a couple of years because we were kind of, it was very stable here. You know, the buildings were doing well. They were bringing in, you know, great cash flow. They were taking care of themselves. We didn't have to deal with a lot of tenant issues or reno issues or any of that kind of stuff. I was working a job. you know what, building up my pension. The schedule was okay, but I wasn't happy with it. So then it's really funny. And I know you and I have had this talk before, how life kind of gives you what you need, even though it doesn't really look like it at the time. So in 2017, my job shifted and they went through a restructuring, as governments often do. And I was told that my position was redundant and that I was being sent back to the supervisor's office, which is a day shift, night shift, afternoon shift, weekend, like every second weekend. And Steph's shifts had stayed the same. So he was still working days, nights, afternoons, and weekends. So it was really stressful. Like, it was a really horrible transition here because I knew that I couldn't make it work anymore. And I didn't want to have to make it work, because we had already realized that we wanted more and that going backwards wasn't something that we wanted to do. And that's what it felt like. So I quit, and it was the scariest thing I've ever done. And I quit by email, and it was just like, dear boss, you know what? After so much thought and consideration, I'm resigning from my position. And I hit send before I could stop myself, because I knew it had to happen, but it was just, I had almost 20 years in, actually just over 20 years. So the responsible piece was like, oh my God, you're leaving your family vulnerable, and you've got responsibilities, and these kids need to eat and want to go to university, and all of those things, you know what, that we're taught to worry about kind of as you go. And it was so overwhelming. But then, you know what, Steph is so supportive of us growing and trying different things. And he said, you know what, we'll be fine. And if we're not fine, we'll fix it and we'll make it fine. And that's kind
now,
of
did what Steph did. Know about it before you hit send? Had you had the conversation?
Oh, or was
he like, oh, guess what I did
and
today?
He had been telling me that for eight, okay. Just leave. Like, and that's where he was. It's not worth, you know, it's not worth the stress. It's not worth the struggle. It's not worth it. Like, we'll get there in the end. We'll just have to be flexible about it. So, yeah, it was so, and it was New Year's Day. It was New Year's Day, 2018. And I just, I hit send and I thought, that's, you know what, I'm just going to start the year and it's as fresh as it can possibly be. And this is kind of our new path. And I had no idea what it was going to look like or what it was going to be like, or what it was even going to, like, it was so overwhelming for me. And I was afraid to tell my parents, and I was, just because I felt that responsibility piece, you know what I mean? Like, I was going to let people down. So it was a lot. It really was. But you know what? Like we've talked about before, life will give you what you need. And for like 6 months after that, it was like I reintroduced myself to our kids. And I said, hi, like, I'm your mom, right? Who's been juggling like crazy for years. And now I'm home and I can get the laundry done. And I'm not screaming at everybody on Saturdays to pick up your stuff because it's our only day, you know? So it worked out really great. And the bank didn't take away any of our stuff, and our payments still got made. And we used the buildings as the buffer to make up the difference, right? In where we kind of fell short. And we grew, right? And it got better. And we just, I don't know, like, we figured it out, and we were flexible enough, and we're big into managing risk. We understand that there's so many decisions that we're gonna make in our lives that are risky. So what do we do to put ourselves in the best position to make sure that the risk is as minimal as possible? So that's kind of how we've structured everything from there.
I just, I love hearing your story, because it just inspires me, and it's close to home, because of course, you know, as you know, of course, when I quit my job, I felt the same way, right? It's a big decision, and with three kids as well. And then you start thinking, did I make the right decision? What about my pension? What about my benefits for my kids? And it's easy to let yourself go there. And what will people think? You know, all those things.
For sure. And what are people saying about me? It's crazy. Like, it's crazy where your mind can go somewhere. But you know what? If you can take that moment and get out of your head and widen your lens and look bigger picture, this was something I should have done 10 years ago. You know what I mean? And I just didn't. I just needed the push, right? Just a little bit of a push. And now we're in a position that we never even imagined we could be in. Like, it's
interesting, because you said, you know, you said a couple of times earlier, you know, the struggle was weird. And what really sticks out here is how you said, but I quit and I figured it out. And that's the thing sometimes when we're, you know, if you're always waiting for the perfect time to take that action or to take that move, when you're in a place or a position, and I'm sure some of our listeners are either there right now or they've been there before, and they're, exactly. You know, it's hard, especially as a woman and a mom and all those things, that and trying to grow a business and try to grow a portfolio. But when you know that, you know what, no matter what, I am dedicated to myself and to my kids, if you have kids, or to whoever, to just figure it out, solutions come. And when you're in that right mindset as well, it seems that exactly things that you think would never happen, all of a sudden now you reintroduce yourself to your kids, you're spending more time with them, you're having that life balance, and you've been doing some amazing things as well on top of all of this. So you quit your job, and then, you know, what do things look now? What have you done? I know you've joined the Action Family, but what was your path towards continuing to grow?
So I left my job and I took those first 6 months to a year where I kind of just floated around and tried to find my feet and figure out where I wanted to go, because I was in my early 40s. So, and I mean, I'm only in my mid 40s now, we're only a couple of years into it, right? But just trying to figure out, what do I want to do? Like, I've got lots of years left. I'm smart, I'm strong, I'm active, I'm all of those things. And I like to work my brain in a bit of a different way. So what could I possibly do, you know what I mean, to kind of take us down that road? So while we're having those conversations at home and kind of like, what's our next 5 years going to look like? And what do we need to kind of change or do to grow? We bought a house. So not the house we lived in, but we bought a house that we were going to use as a flip. So we renoed it, and it was this really interesting project that, of course, took too long and we spent too much money. And it really taught us a lot about the market and refinancing and all of those pieces that kind of need to click together to make it work. And we ended up keeping it as a rental because the market wasn't really strong when we finished it. And we knew because we spent too much money, we weren't going to be able to pull out what we needed to in a refi. So we just kept it as a rental, and it wound up, that was, I think that's the strongest asset we have in our portfolio now. And it's so funny how it's the opposite of what we wanted it to be. So then that kind of turned into, well, you know what? And it was a conversation with my dad, of all people. He said, you know what? He said, you're investing and you're buying and you're selling and you're doing all of these different things. Why don't you get your license? And then you're at least, he says, if you don't want to push it and kind of work with all kinds of clients, he says, at least you can take care of your own stuff. Right. So, and I kind of thought about it and I chewed on that for a bit and I thought, okay, I'm not convinced I want a second career like that, but it felt like it was the right direction to go in. Right. So, and at that point, we didn't even really recognize that growing our portfolio outside of Sudbury was even an option. We didn't know that you could do that.
Right.
Right. So I thought, well, you know what, we'll try this out and we'll, you know what, I'm pretty knowledgeable in the market in Sudbury because we're involved in it anyways. So let's see kind of where this takes us. I wasn't quite sure what the destination was going to look like, but it definitely felt like it was the right path to walk down. So that's what I did. And it was like it all, it's so funny with life, truly. It all kind of happened at once. So I was finishing my real estate license and we found you and Dave and the Action Family. And then I found a brokerage that fit really well with how I wanted to work and kind of the environment I wanted to be a part of. And it just kind of rolled so seamlessly. It was like it was just meant to be. So, right. Yeah.
Because you listened to your gut before that and decided to take that action and quit, right? Because otherwise, and sometimes when you know, when it's so deep that you know I can't do this anymore.
Absolutely.
You know, it comes back around and it's so scary, but it all worked out.
It was the most overwhelming, scary time I've ever experienced. And I know that there's so many people out there and even friends that I have that I've talked to and they say like, I don't know how you did it. I would be too scared. And I said, oh my God, I was horrified. Like I was sick in my stomach and I thought I'm letting my family down. We're going to lose everything to the bank. And then really once you take a deep breath and kind of focus on what's important, you know what I mean? And it was my kids needed a parent around more often. And we wanted to be able to provide more for them than just mom and dad paying bills and a holiday once a year. You know what? We wanted to kind of create a lifestyle where we had some flexibility, right? Some time freedom, some location freedom, some financial freedom, right? So it wasn't all about just working hard and paying bills.
Right. That's great. That's fantastic. So you joined the Action Family and now you're also part of the Platinum 10, which is essentially a mastermind where we talk every day. I don't think there's a day that we haven't spoken to.
We talk like multiple times in a day.
Yeah. So where are you at? Because you mentioned, you know, you didn't even think that going outside of your area was a possibility. And I know that's, again, a struggle for many people. How did that come about? And where are you now?
So we've had lots of exciting, it's been a great year for us actually in terms of growing and changing and shifting. So last fall, once I started working as a realtor, I like to stay, so my niche is the investor focused stuff because that's what I'm good at and what I understand. So we got kind of connected with the network of the Action family and kind of started looking around at what was available in other markets, because the market here, like most markets in Ontario, was on fire, right? Everything was so crazy and busy and the values were shooting so high and the market activity was so busy. We were kind of looking going, now really it doesn't make sense for us to jump back into this market because the numbers really didn't make sense. The values were shooting so high. The rents hadn't had time to keep up. People weren't moving. You didn't have a lot of tenant turnover. So we're kind of linking into other people looking at, okay, well, what's going on in other markets? And it was feasible for us because we already don't manage our own stuff here. So for us to not manage our own stuff further away was pretty simple. Like that was an easy jump for us in our brain, whether it was 10 minutes away or 10 hours away. So we ended up in New Brunswick, looking in that market to kind of see what was happening and what was going on. And we actually, because the values had increased so high across the board with what we owned here in Ontario, we were able to do a refinance and pull out all kinds of equity out of the stuff here that paid for 10 doors in New Brunswick. So. Amazing. Yeah, so it was really amazing. So the numbers out there at the time were incredible. And, you know, for us, it was just a really great business decision. And that kind of opened the floodgates to, oh my gosh, you know what? It's so easy once you can find a great market, where can we look next, right? And then as life often does, right, it kind of gives you a really great push every once in a while. That's when we found, like, that's when the Platinum family kind of took foothold. Right. And we were really not convinced that it was that we would fit or that it would fit us or it was something that we were even looking for. And of course, here we are now 3 months in or 2.5 months in or whatever. And truly, that's our best investment so far because it's like it's opened up the world and we've got access to people who are like us, but at different points in their journeys. You know what I mean? None of our journeys are in the same, at the same pace, you know what I mean? And we're not all at the same spot, but we're all doing the same things at the same time in different ways. So the growth potential for us has been ridiculously huge connecting with everybody in that group. And like you said, we're talking 2, 3, 4, 5 times a day, right? Yeah. Which keeps the motivation going.
And what I love is that we are hearing all these different perspectives, whether it's personal growth, or, you know, what's really our why-driven decisions, or looking at different markets, or connecting. I mean, we've been connecting with so many lawyers and accountants and all those different people that collectively we're able to bring forward to the table, and so amazing. So what are your goals moving forward? So you've had your 2 properties, you bought the 10, so how many are you at now?
So we're at 20 doors. We're about to close on door number 21 in a couple of weeks.
Amazing.
And we have a vacant lot. I don't count that as a door because it's not really revenue producing, but we picked it
yet.
Up. It was a bit of a steal,
right?
Yeah, it's not revenue producing yet, but that was kind of a back pocket. We'll look at that in a year or two and kind of see what the market's doing and what we can kind of do to add that to the portfolio as something that's gonna create a little bit of money.
Wow. And now you're looking outside of Canada as well. Is that correct?
Yes. So the door that we're closing in a couple of weeks is in Michigan. So it's a single family home that we've picked up through a great company, a Canadian company that helps Canadians investing in the States, which for us has been a really seamless, easy experience. There's so many moving parts, like in terms of legal and tax and property management as a foreign national. So the group that we're working with has been super helpful, and we're really excited to watch that kind of take hold and grow and see where that can take us. So
that's fantastic. And I'm curious as well. So with the 3 kids, do you involve them with real estate? Is that something they have any interest, or are they around it, or they're like, mom, dad, don't talk to us about it?
Well, it's really funny because, so my oldest daughter is getting ready to leave for university. So she's very financially conservative. She's very much old school that way, wants to save her money, doesn't want to spend it, wants to kind of create that cushion. So she's interested in the financing piece. So okay. Asking, well, mom, I have all this money that I saved up from my job over the last 2 years. She says, if I give it to you and dad to invest, what can I get back? Which we think is amazing because,
wow.
Yeah, it's, and you know what? It makes for amazing conversation at the supper mm-hmm. table. So she's really, and I mean, if we would have known what we know now at her age, it would have been a totally different game for us, right? Yeah. So I really think for her, it's exciting because it opens that kind of financial literacy and financial education, you know what I mean, is only going to benefit her as she goes.
Yeah, because right? It's not taught in school. They don't teach this, but that can be good if done wisely and strategic.
Absolutely. And yeah. And you know what? And that's kind of what we've taught her. And she's kind of tried to have that conversation with her friends, but nobody seems to be really there yet, which is understandable because it's not really mainstream. It's not taught in schools. It's not something a lot of people are interested in or understand properly or whatever.
Right.
And that's okay. So, and then our middle daughter is all about flooring and paint color. So she loves that piece of it of, nice. Oh, mom, do we have a unit that's empty? And are you going to paint? Then can I come with you and help you pick the colors? So, you know what, we kind of have those conversations with her. And our little guy is 12 and he really likes going with Steph when Steph takes care of like a reno or something small. Jamie goes and wears the tool belt and, you know, he holds the hammer and he gets dad the nails. And so right. We're kind of trying to involve them just to let them know that there's all kinds of options, right? And especially with Katie, like Katie's getting ready to go to university. So it's about, you know what, follow your passion and take what you want to take, but always remember that this kind of investing is a great side gig. And even if it's not something you want to do full-time, like we are, you know, or trying to anyways, this is always something that you can do kind of on the side and kind of quietly build your portfolio while you're doing what you love. And if at some point during your road you wake up at 40 and it's not working anymore, then you have some options kind of built into your choices.
I love that. Love it, love it, love it. You don't have to do this full time. It can just be something yeah. extra that to
Absolutely.
As a backup or whatnot. And I love how you're involving your children differently as well, because that's reality. Every kid has different interests and how even though it's all three of them differently, that you yes. still found a way to include them in, as part of this. And I think this is a gift, not only for your, you know, for you and Steph that you've created here, but clearly that generational wealth and knowledge piece that you can pass yes. on.
Absolutely.
Them
and well. Just, it's important to us that they understand that there's no expectation that you have to do the same job for the rest of your life. And even if you don't like it, you need to stick it out because you need your pension. And that was kind of that whole old school mentality that, you know, we all grew up with, that we want to teach them that, no, you don't have to do it that way. You can if you want to, and there's nothing wrong with it. And if that's what you're choosing to do, then we support you and we encourage you and we do all of those things that we want to be as parents, but know that you don't have to. And there are different ways to do things that can still make you passionate about your life and still being able to support yourself and grow.
That's great. I love that. I'm going to ask you a question that's not on my, and then we'll head over to the questions of action. But as you're speaking, I thought to myself, where do you see yourself, you and Steph, of course, in 5 years from now? What's your next 5-year goal? What do you see for yourself?
Oh, 5 years. So we'll be 50, which is a bit of a game changer. And really, I hope that by then, we're on a beach with the Platinum 10, having a drink, talking about where to go next.
I love it.
I mean, and that's kind of where we are, right? 5 years for us takes almost all our kids out of high school. So it'll be a different gig around here for sure, because hopefully our numbers will be decreased and we'll have kids to go visit in different places.
Right, right.
But we're happy to just keep growing. Like we don't have a set number or a set amount or what we kind of need to feel like we've been successful. We're all about the ride and the journey and how do we grow and where can we go and who can we kind of connect with on the way. Because we've learned, as I'm sure you and Dave have, mm-hmm. is most of this journey is the connections you make and the networks you build and the info you share. And for us, that's the biggest part. So we're just we're happy to keep growing and keep going and connect and share with whoever we can. That helps make us better.
Yeah, I love it. It's a journey, and it's fun to be flexible, because if I look at a couple of years ago, I can even, if I listen to my old podcasts, even my goal is are different than what I am identifying today, because I grew as a person, as a wife, as a woman, as an investor, and I shifted. And you know, it's not about the number of doors. It's not about just the cash flow. It's, you know, it really is about the journey. It's about the freedom, the flexibility, all those kind of things that really, really come together. And I love that you say it is a journey, and it is. It's true. It's being able to connect with those people that I never thought in a million years that I would connect to and build friendships with and all that as well, which is right. Which is
and
priceless.
With those connections too comes the sharing and the, oh my gosh, guess what? We hooked into this network and now we're in a deal with them that's benefiting us and benefiting them. And they've introduced us to these people who we're in a deal with. And you know what? It's all about grow, right? And everybody's kind of growing at their own pace, but you kind of stay connected and it's, it makes the journey that much more, it makes it that much better.
Yes, no, I love that. That's fantastic. Good. So let's move on to the questions of action for you today. So question number one, what advice, Jennifer, would you give your younger self?
Oh, so much. So much. wouldn't we all? I mean, honestly, no, I would definitely, I'd be kinder to myself, really, and set the bar a little bit at a more manageable space and understand that. And it's just my perspective as a mom, as a wife, as an employee, as a daughter, as a sister, like you don't have to be game on 100% all the time. And I think that there's so many of us that do that and there's no need. And it's much more authentic and it's much more realistic and it's much kinder to just acknowledge that, you know, the authenticity of it all, that it's never going to be what you think it needs to be, but it doesn't have to either. And really those expectations, they're not society's or our families or our employers or any of that. That's ours. And I think that needs to change inside. So to kind of recognize that bar doesn't have to be at perfection as often as we think it needs to be. So I would definitely have that conversation with 20-year-old me. And I would definitely say, you know what, take the risks and take the jumps, mitigate them, right? Educate yourself, make as many smart decisions as you can and seek as much knowledge, but don't be afraid to make a decision that seems very different from what other people are doing, because that's where the real change comes and that's where the real growth occurs.
Wow, this is so powerful in so many ways. I love that. You're the first one on my show to say that. Be kinder to yourself. And it's so true. We are... Yes. You know, sometimes I still catch myself being hard on myself. I didn't get this done, or I didn't, you know, and I want more of this or that, or, yes. And it's just, you know, it's a journey to be kinder to ourselves, because we want to give to others and give our time to our spouse and our kids and do all these great things. And us as women, and this is a Woman of Action show, so I love that you're bringing this up. Let's take time today and just really appreciate the journey where we're at, whether you have no properties yet or you have a million properties. Absolutely. It's still a journey. We are where we should be for a reason right now.
100%. I couldn't agree more, for sure.
Love it. Question number two, what's your number one tip you'd give to someone who wants to get started in real estate investing? So somebody who may have no properties at all, or maybe one or two, and they want to get to as many doors as you want and create that extra freedom, maybe quit their jobs like you did. What advice would you give them?
I would definitely say to remember to be flexible. And that for us has been key, because we've learned more than once that just because it doesn't look like we think it's supposed to look, doesn't mean it's not going to be amazing. So like everybody who does this kind of longer term gets it, right? And understands that you have an idea in your head of it needs to be these numbers and it needs to be this much, and it needs to follow a formula, and it usually doesn't. And if it does, that's awesome. And it's one of those unicorns that you kind of doesn't happen often, but grab it. But at the same time, understand that maybe right now it's not what you want it to look like, but if you have the flexibility to maybe look 6 months or 12 months or 2 years down the road, and what could this look like downrange, you know what I mean? And look bigger picture, then real estate, we found, I mean, it always comes out in the end. It always gets there. It may not get there in 6 months or 12 months, but it's going to get there in 18 months or 2 years, or to kind of have that flexibility with what your expectations are, and to understand that, you know what, just because it doesn't look like you think it has to look right now, doesn't mean it's not going to look like that down the road. So not to kind of discourage that from being on your options list of things to look at, but just understand that things are always moving, right? And they're always fluid and they're always changing. So to allow for that flexibility might change it into what you want it to be anyways.
That's awesome. Love it, Jennifer. Okay, final questions. Where can people reach you? You've shared so much. I love your story. I just, every time I talk to you, I just get inspired, and you're so pleasant and easy to talk to.
Thank you. I could do this all day with you, honestly.
Yes, and we live so close, and I know we will in the near future.
For sure.
So where, I'm sure so many of my listeners are saying, wow, like, I'm inspired. You gave some great feedback. Where can people find you, reach you on social media?
So I'm on Facebook. I have a realtor page. So it's Jennifer Briette Realtor on Facebook. So I'm in the process of transitioning that from realtor to investor, and kind of trying to see how that plays out. It's just a little shift in perception and priorities.
You're being flexible again.
Trying to be flexible with it. So just trying to figure out how the platform can support both, right? To kind of share a little bit of our story, and be available to help other people, right, who are interested in this kind of journey or this kind of information. So Jennifer Briette Realtors on Facebook, and Investor Jen Briette is on Instagram. So those are the two platforms that I use. My daughters keep trying to talk me into Snapchat and TikTok, and I'm not quite there yet, but I'm not gonna say never, but just Instagram and Facebook for now. And I'm happy to chat with whoever. I've met so many great people through the Action family and through my realtor work, and new investors that are starting out. And I love the stories, and I love the drive, and I love the motivation, and I love to share that. So yeah, for sure. Drop me a message, give me a call. I'm always happy to talk.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to spend it with us here on the Women in Action show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Mel. Like I said, you and I, we chat every day, and I could do this all day long, you know, so it was my absolute pleasure. And I can't wait to see the other women I know that you have coming up on the show. I can't wait to hear their stories too.
That's great. Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Yes, we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye for now.
It's such a pleasure having Jennifer on our show today. I got to know Jennifer very well through the Action family, and even more so because she's part of the Platinum 10. I hope her story inspires you. If you have any questions you'd like to ask me, make sure to comment below. And if you want to be inspired by other women of action, make sure to check out this next video. I'm Investor Mel, and I'll see you next time.